The IMG Roadmap is the only podcast dedicated to coaching international medical graduates and success blueprints for this unique pathway. I am Dr. Nina Loom, your host, a previous IMG turned hospital medicine physician, healthcare administrator, speaker, and coach. I empower, encourage, and equip you with actionable steps that you can take towards the residency position of your dreams.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the IMG Roadmap Podcast. Today's guest is Priyana Tweet. She is an IMG, a graduate of Ross University School of Medicine. It was formerly in Dominica, now in Barbados. And she's on the show today to share with us some tips and tricks that work for her along the way, and particularly give us some more inspiration, especially if you're in a Caribbean medical school right now. Welcome on the podcast, Priyana. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just hanging out. So I know you're excited to be on here today, aren't you?
I am a little nervous, but super excited.
Yeah. So to make it easy, can you tell us what year you graduated from Ross University?
So I actually graduated today. So yay.
Yay. Congratulations. So now you're Dr. Tweet.
Officially, yes. It's like so ironic almost how, you know, this interview's today and I graduated today. So yes, I graduated today. I went to Ross and it was in Dominica and I just matched in the family back home in Washington State.
That is so amazing. So it's such a pleasure to speak with you today. And I'm so glad that you matched in your home state. I mean, that's such a big deal because then you don't have to travel across the country.
Exactly. And especially right now, my husband and I are trying to find a place to stay and definitely not easy, especially when no one can show you anything.
Yeah. I would imagine with the COVID pandemic, it's been a little heavy on everybody and affecting so many things all at once. But I'm hopeful that we'll overcome this and we'll fight it and we'll beat it like with everything else.
Exactly. Just one day at a time.
Absolutely. So can you tell us, you know, let's go over sort of like your medical school education and your background. So did you have any gaps in your education or did you just cruise all the way through?
So I did have like a 5-year gap between undergrad and med school. And I got married during that time. I really didn't know what I wanted to do when I graduated undergrad, but I also always sort of knew medicine was my calling. So I guess it wasn't the time. But when I got married and at that time I was helping my family out with their the family business. And I just sort of told my husband one day, you know, I'm sick and tired of doing this and I want to go to med school. And so we went to Dominica together.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So how about with medical school, once you started, did you complete it in 4 years or did you have any gaps?
I did have a gap between second and third. I think the first 2 years were a struggle just because there had been such a big gap between undergrad and med school. Studying is like completely different. And I didn't know, I honestly, when I just think about it, it's like, I didn't know how to study for med school. And it was really hard because it was like, how do I figure this all out and be successful at it? The first semester was a struggle, but thankfully semester by semester, you know, I made improvements and figured it out. But even step one was a struggle. You know, I always tell, you know, everyone, I didn't have to take it twice, but it was definitely a struggle just to sit for it because Ross has something called a comp and BME that we have to take before they'll let us take step one. And I know it's changed even now for the new students, and I'm not sure what it is now, but I know they've made it a little harder. But just getting to take step one, that was a challenge on its own. So, you know, I'm glad to say that I persevered through it all. I think that's the most important part. Just don't give up. Don't give up.
Right. It sounds so cliche when we say don't give up, right? Because it sounds like, oh, that's what everybody says. But how true is that statement? Like persistence is really what's necessary to succeed with this very difficult journey. So I know one of the things that you were open with me about was because we met through Instagram and you sent a DM, a direct message with, you know, just a concern because you had a failure on CS, on step two CS. Can you, you know, there are some people listening who maybe have never taken the test and they may be worried that they're not going to do well on it. Can you share with us like what you learned from that experience? Why do you think you failed the first time and how did you like correct that second time around?
You know, I think when I look back at why I failed it, I don't think I understood how to study for it. And I know, you know, I'm almost embarrassed to say this because everyone always talks about how, you know, it's the easier out of the exams and how, you know, and I've heard people tell me, oh, it's hungover the night before I took it. But I think, unfortunately, I am not one of those people that can study like that. I think I didn't give myself enough time. I think also I was like lackadaisical about it. But I think what really for me was like, I did not know how to study for it. Like, as cliche as that sound, you know, everyone says that about a lot of the exams we take. But this one really was one where, you know, I did what I did the first time, but maybe I wasn't as serious enough, you know, about it the first time. I'm still not sure, but I did get a tutor. And if anybody wants her name, let me know. She is a site president in New York. She's amazing. But that really, really helped just to know. I think when I did it with my friends, I didn't have enough critiquing. Whereas, you know, I did it with someone who I was paying them to critique me and to really just point out where I'm wrong. But I just do want to let everyone know, you know, it's not the end of the road. If you do fail CS or any exam, you know, you just get back up, you cry about it and pray about it, do whatever you have to do and get back up and keep going. Do not give up.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And I think what you're saying is you didn't just, you know, when you didn't do well, what you did was you sought help. So you found someone that could help you in the form of a tutor who was a resident physician, and you asked them, you actually paid them to critique you. So you were paying for the feedback that you needed to be better. And so I think that it's important that people realize that when you've done something once and you don't do well, it's perfectly fine to seek help. And if you seek, it's fine. Absolutely. All right. So moving on to the laundry list of questions that I have for you today. After you did complete your exams, can you tell us about your clinical experiences? And did you do any acting internships, audition rotations, and such?
I did my clinical years in California, in Los Angeles downtown. And it was pretty awesome because you got, you know, it's LA downtown. You get to see all sorts of stuff. I did one audition rotation, and that was with the hospital. They had a family medicine residency. But I feel like clinical years was almost where I got to shine. And I feel like also the information was just easier. I mean, if you were to ask me anything about biochem processes, I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you anything. But I feel like, at least for most of my fellow colleagues, and I feel like clinical years is something, this is what we were made for. This is where we're supposed to be, is the hospital and learning and being hands-on. I just feel like first 2 years were definitely challenging. I mean, the first 2 years took me 3 years. But the 2 years I was able to thankfully cruise through, used UWorld for my shelf exams and online med ed, but I really wish I had like some kind of magical secret, you know, potion that I could tell everyone about, but it was really just time management and just working hard to get through those 2 years.
Right. So time management and working hard. Absolutely.
I was just going to say, don't compare yourself to other people around you. I think that was the thing too, that from day one got me, was just focusing on my path and my challenges and what was ahead of me, because we're all different.
So when you say people around you, who are you comparing yourself to? Do you mean like your students or can you expand?
Yeah,
Well, just, you know, your colleagues, the other students around you. I mean, I would end up sometimes being like, you know, this PA student said this and I didn't do this. And it's like, wait a second, we don't even go to the same school, you know? I just got to focus on my, you know, on myself and what my problems are. And, you know, I'll help out other people on the way and be kind. But I think for me, I had to really learn to just almost cut people off when I study, like in a good way, in a healthy way, just because I could compare myself. And then I would like end up focusing on like things they mentioned instead of areas that I was struggling on. Right. If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. I think comparison is the thief of joy and the thief of productivity.
Oh, yes.
You know, when a student is focused on everybody else and how much better that person is or those people are, they're missing out on the opportunities that they have in their face or the opportunities they have in their hands. Like a bird in a hand is better than two in the bush, right? It really helps you stay in your lane and helps you become even more efficient in your lane when you're not looking at what other people are doing, especially with a very competitive process like what we have to go through to match into residency. So I definitely agree with that. So, you know, moving on to some more questions that we'll have for you. You know, can you tell us about your interview process? How many interviews did you get? What do you think opened up those doors for you even after a failure with CS? Can you walk us through that?
So I got 10 interviews. One I didn't end up going to. And it was the one that was furthest away from home. And I just sort of already knew that, you know, I wouldn't be happy there. But I went to all the other ones. I think for me, I got 4 of my interviews from going to the conference that every year, the AAFP. So which that was really cool because I went to that conference with like almost zero expectation of really getting anything like as an interview or anybody really remembering because there's just so many people that go. But I would say if you could take advantage of that, definitely take advantage of that. I got another one because I reached out sort of earlier in the season and just let them know that I really, really would like to be there or would even like just the opportunity to, you know, have an interview and show them, you know, why I love their program and want to be there. But, you know, I also think some of this is just luck. You upload your stuff on ERAS and some people will like you and some don't. I mean, I had a really good friend of mine who's a genius. She got over 30 and went to 20 of them. But I think this is just, it's like, how do they determine who they're going to interview and who they're not? But I would say reach out to the programs that you want, because the worst thing they'll do is not answer or say no. And if that's what they do, you just move on. And go to that conference. Those two things I could say for sure really did help me with some of the interviews I got.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I always tell people or students that are interested in family medicine to definitely look up the AAFP Family Medicine Resident and Student Conference. It happens once a year in Kansas City. We don't know what it's going to be for 2020, but so far it hasn't been interrupted because it's sometime in August, usually July, August. So check their website out, guys, if you're listening and have an interest. I think it's a great place to network. Like, you know, what we're hearing today from our newly minted Dr. Tweet. She's telling us, you know, just go ahead and talk to people, reach out. She went with zero expectations and ended up getting 4 invitations to interview because she was at that conference and met people. So you just never know where your opportunity lies. You have to put yourself out there. And when you hear no, it doesn't stop. It just means try again someplace else. Okay. So thanks for really bringing that up. I appreciate it. Now, you know, I know that you also sort of had some questions for me personally around the interview time regarding disclosing how much of to disclose scores to programs or failures to programs. Can you tell, you know, everybody sort of a little bit about what happened and how you dealt with that situation just in case they ever encounter that?
So it was like, at that point, I just finished my very first interview and it was with my top choice. And then I found out about CS. So I was in a little bit of a panic because I think, yes, I, you know, failed CS, and as traumatic as that was, but it was also balancing, like, what do you tell these programs? Do you bring it up? Do you lie about it? Like, what do you do? Like, what's the right step? So I reached out to Dr. Mina, and I sort of told her what was going on. And I think for me, it was like, I just went by, you know, if they're going to ask me about it, I'm going to be honest, because, you know, there's no way you're going to hide it, right? But just, I think it speaks to your character, which is, you know, I feel like even more important. I'd know if I was on the other side of things, I just want a person. And, you know, I got asked about it, I think, twice. And both times I was told, we really appreciate your honesty. That really speaks to your character. Somebody was like, I can't even imagine what you're going through, but they're like, we really want that in a resident. You know, people do, residency does value honesty. So I think that was really comforting. And the other thing was, you know, if they didn't ask or bring it up, I didn't bring it up. And it wasn't intentional. It was just like, I'm in the interview. And by the time the interview was done, I remember, oh, they didn't bring it up. So that's what I sort of went by. Obviously, anyone in this situation can, you know, choose to do what they want. But I do think at the end of the day, you know, honesty is the best policy. And, you know, if they bring it up, then I think the best thing would to be is honest, you know, to be honest about it. And if they don't, then that's fine too.
Absolutely. Honesty is the best policy, and character goes a long way, because being honest, if you're asked a question, being honest in your response is probably the best thing you can offer them. And for anyone who's not clear, you know, what we were referring to is the fact that Dr. Tweet was telling us she had experienced a failure with step two CS. So the results only became available during the time of her interview. And so the question is, do you bring that up? Do you not bring that up? But what she did was, whenever it was brought up, she was very honest. And every time she did that, her honesty was appreciated by the programs. So you can't hide this information, because one way or the other, they're going to find out. So you're better off maintaining a character that shows that you're an honest person than not. So that's really the take-home point. Honesty is the best policy, and we're so happy that you were so open with us to tell us about this too. So looking back at your journey, can you give us any advice? So anyone that's in the Caribbean right now, or in a Caribbean medical school, you know, what are some things that you want them to do differently from what you did?
I think what I would do differently, I would say start using New World like early on. I would go, because I didn't know this. People were already using UWorld that, you know, I get, not maybe first year, but second year for sure. Also going back to first aid, Pathoma, you know, Sketchy, like all those resources. I did not use that second year, you know, when it's coming, when that time to take step one is coming, or comp for us. So we're eligible to take step one. But I did not know that those, I mean, I don't know how, that I didn't know those resources were available. And I'm not sure why I didn't have the foresight to be like, I should be using those right now. But, you know, use those. And if you need help, please, please reach out for help. Don't let your pride or what other people are going to think about you. I mean, I did not want to reach out for help for CS. And thankfully, I have a husband who's smart enough and pushed me, was like, no, you got to. But I was ashamed. But I think don't let that stop you from being successful.
Yes, absolutely. 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 Thank you for sharing those insights with us. Can an IMG connect with you if they say, hey, yeah, I'm at Ross University, I want to talk to you. Or hey, I didn't do well in CS, I want to talk with you. Or I want that tutor's number. How can I find you?
So I don't have a huge Instagram presence. But I do have my email, which is pritweet73@gmail.com.
All right. We'll include that as well in the show notes so that anybody that's interested in connecting with Dr. Tweet can email her directly. Thank you for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate you sharing part of yourself with us. This is invaluable advice, and it's rare to find people that are honest and want to genuinely help other people. So we appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you, Dr. Nina. You guys, she's amazing.
Well, thank you for saying that. You have a good one.
Bye.